Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're starting the show.
No, we just started recording.
Okay.
That's like when they ask you backstage, are you ready?
All right, here we go. Here's the music. This is the first time we're doing this.
All the wife does watch television all day, all night, every day, all day, all night. Watches TV. One night he walks in, she's yelling at the TV screen. Don't do it, you moron! Don't go in that church! You idiot! Don't go in that church! He says, what are you watching? She says, our wedding video.
Hey, man.
Let me get
welcome
that.
To the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast. We have the Dean of the Clown College. We have Mike Breed.
Hey, John, how you doing today? I'm doing all right, man. I'm a little conflicted, we got that music still going on.
Can you still hear it?
And we got Fred Klett. How you doing, Fred?
Good. How's it going?
Good. My name is John Ferrantino, and I am in tech hell.
Oh, man. That's better than being in real hell, man.
It says recording. We are all good. Hey, yes. Fred, good to see you again, buddy.
Yeah.
Let me give a little intro. Fred is the dry bar champ of the world. He's been a comedian for a million trillion years, and now he's got a whole new career thanks to dry bar.
He was the first one that Caesar gave thumbs up to.
I think they saw his act and went, yeah, let's do a thing called Dry Bar. And how many millions of hits do you have now?
The last I knew it was just 80 million. I haven't heard any updates.
It's just 80 million, you know.
80 million.
You know,
I don't want to brag. 80 million, you know.
You know, it might be up to 85 million. I don't know, 80 million.
Hey,
know,
man, let's stop counting at 70.
Yeah, I think my reel is on YouTube. I think it's got like, you know, 30 views, you know. So
I might be up to 81. Who knows?
Who knows?
Sounds like me getting on the scale, you know? I might be up to 350. I don't know. It's just...
So, Fred, what's new? Where you been?
Well, I just, believe it or not, I just did a private show in Allendale, Missouri. When I drove into Allendale, and I'm not making any of this up, population 67 people.
Wait. Why does everybody say mute and I can't hear anybody through my headphones?
Is that count? Is that counting the chickens and the? Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah. Allendale's population 67.
Next time, last time. Why do people keep calling me? Why?
They got a little thing on the side of the phone, John, where you
silent.
Can actually
it's
mute
on,
it or turn it off.
It's on silent. I can't talk. I'm doing a show. Whatever this is, I'll call you later.
If it's on silence, my hearing is really good.
I swear to God, it says silent, but it must be John and Mike in the morning.
No, I think I should. I'm gonna have to take over the tech stuff, John. I think.
All right. I'm sorry, Fred. I was in a panic attack. I missed everything you said.
No, you were in a town
with 60 people.
Population 67.
Yeah. Allendale's population 67.
Population 67 people. There's a sign that says population 67.
So you really notice it when somebody doesn't come to the show.
Well, when you got more people in the audience than the entire population of the, I don't even, what would you call it? A village? What would you call that? A group?
Town, I guess, or whatever. It's an incorporated whatever.
Yeah, because we had like 100 people at the show.
Wow. It was like Woodstock for them.
Yeah. So it's my new record for the smallest town, village grouping of people that I've ever done.
So was it a really rural kind of like chickens
yeah,
and yep. cow kind
and,
of?
Did they pay you in feed?
No, they actually paid really well, which was I was kind of shocked. Like, how are we paying the comedian? But now I just deposited the check, so I'll hold off on.
Come on, Zeke, we got to take up a collection and pay the comedian. What do you mean pay him? We got some woods out in the back. We don't got to pay him.
I have a similar story to that. When I was doing colleges, I got this call from my agent, and it was Saul Ross University. So I had to fly to Midland, Texas. And I get there to the rental car place, and they only rent Hondas. And I go on, and he goes, well, is the only car that can make it to where you got to go without having to fill her up.
No,
I was like, what? and you know me, I'm not a great traveler by myself. So he goes, yeah. I go, well, I'm going to Saul Ross University. He goes, yep. And I go, yeah, well, where is he? He goes, well, you're going to go out on the road here, and there'll be a big, big-ass boulder that you can't miss. You're going to make a left, and then you're going to go 190 miles across the desert. So you get to some civilization.
Okay, like, Moses.
So I'm driving. I was starting to have a panic attack. I felt like I looked down. I'm doing like 100. I don't even know, right? You know? And I'm like, oh, please let me get there. Please let me get there, you know? And I get there, and I pull off, and I go to the university, right? And it doesn't look that bad. And I go to the guy. I go, well, I'm here. And he goes, oh, I'm so happy. He goes, you know, we're expecting a good show tonight. And I go, how many people come? He goes, well, you know, we get, he goes, we look, you know, 10% of the student body shows up. And I go, oh, great. He goes, I go, how many people go to school here? He goes, 297. And I was like, what?
Oh.
Right? So 43 people showed up, and he was ecstatic.
Wow, there
you go. It was
like
one of the biggest events they ever had. So see, now funny. I got to leave the next morning at 5 a.m. to make the flight. And I'm panicking, man. I got to drive on this dark road. I'm thinking, if I die on this road, no one's even going to know I'm here. And as I get on, there's an 18-wheeler in front of me. And I go, oh, thank God. I'm just going to follow this guy all the way. And we go about 4 miles, and he pulls off on the side of the road and goes to sleep.
Oh, it's so funny. You guys are talking about rural town. I went to yesterday, actually, I went to the fair. You know, that I live up in a same thing, kind of a hillbilly-ish, whatever. But I'm like conflicted. I'm really, it's weird because, you know, I'm a city guy, but we went and, you know, there's like chicken, like we were talking Fred, there's cows, there's bulls, there's goats. And so I'm walking through and I'm appreciating these incredibly beautiful animals. And I overhear this other guy talking, there's another guy, oh yeah, everything's ready for market. I mean, so basically they're selling, and I just felt like such a piece of, I feel like I want to quit eating meat now. It's like, I'm appreciating these gorgeous animals, and they're all getting ready to get slaughtered. I'm going to go eat a pork chop later. And it's, you know, I swear, I think I'm going to become a vegetarian.
Yeah, that when my daughter was in kindergarten, right, they read some story about how hot dogs are made.
Ugh.
And to this day, she has never even tasted a hot dog.
Really?
Not even a bite. And Johnny used to torture. Johnny would like get birthday money and go, I'll give you $20 just for a bite.
And she's like, you got to get a Hebrew National. I've seen videos on how hot dogs are made. Most hot dogs you really wouldn't want to eat.
Know.
You know, it's
and
like I said, it's assholes and beaks. But, you know, if you get a really good quality hot dog.
Wait. How many mammals have beaks?
What do you mean? Cows don't have a beak? Come on, John. What are you talking about? Got a freaking beak on it.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh. So you've been traveling a little bit, Fred?
Like I say, I just got back from Allendale, Missouri, and I'm probably one of the few entertainers that can say that they've performed there. I might be the only one.
And was it a corporate show?
At least the only one without a banjo.
Well, I wouldn't call it corporate. I'd call it a private show. But I don't know how they paid me. It had to be somebody just, you know, some of those farmers, man, they got money.
I guess so.
And that's the only thing I can guess because, you know, it was one of those things where the show was actually really fun. You know, we've all done shows like that where they draw from the whole area in a live show. They're actually a great audience, and it was a lot of fun. But
the more rural the area, the more they're starving for entertainment. Those people appreciate you more than, you know, I mean, unless you're being divisive and you're talking about something they don't want to hear. But I think, like you said, those rural places, they are starving for entertainment.
Yeah, well, they almost doubled the population of the city, so.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I was working in New Mexico once, right, in this comedy club. And I look in the front, and this guy walks in, and he's about 6'2", really kind of good-looking guy. And I have to ring the bell. And I kind of like a good looking guy and like tall and thin. And he had on like a cowboy, like a real cowboy shirt and jeans with the belt buckle and the cowboy boots and the hat. And he had one of those like long rider, you know, like
a duster coat,
Yeah.
Duster.
He walks in and he sits down and I go, hey, you know, if a rodeo breaks out, you're probably the only one prepared. Right. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, man, I just came into town for some supplies and to catch a little entertainment. And I felt so bad.
Well, you know what? He was probably just messing with you. He probably
was just
a costume.
Now he told me that he works on a ranch after the show and that he looks forward to once a month coming in to pick up supplies and tries to catch a show.
There you go.
It was wider. Hey, how you doing?
I like that Western wear, but John, I'm a little worried about you now. Really good looking guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I had a vision of you two doing a two-step together after the show.
There you go. What's that, line dancing?
So have you done any cruises lately?
No. Well, I got one coming up, but should I tell you about an experience I had on a cruise ship that I think that you guys will be able to relate to?
I definitely want to hear it.
All right, let me, John, you know this especially because, like most guys, I'm really tough on myself when with my shows.
Okay, well let me give you a little plug here. Fred is one of the best cruise acts there are. I mean, it's like his act is just it's a little bit of an attitude. But it's like, it's funny as hell. It's clean. It's nothing racist. There is nothing in it. You know,
I'm taking it for a given that with over 80 million views on Drybar, that Fred's an amazing comedian.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly.
Well, then you're gonna appreciate this because let me tell you about the two shows I had on this ship. The first one, I mean, it went great, real happy. And you know how it is with the cruise audience. If they've got energy, you know, right away, it's like, oh, this is going to be fun instead of pulling teeth.
Right.
And I got not that I care. All I care about is laughter, but I got a partial standing ovation at the end of the show.
Nice. Which working cruise ships is usually all they care about.
Well,
right. Singers.
That's all singers care about. They will do backflips if it will help them get a standing ovation.
Right.
But the second show, you know, they already know you. They like you.
Right.
And this
is the second different show.
Yeah.
Same audience, like on the cruise ship. Okay. Right. I got you.
Later in the week. And it was, again, just fun from the get-go. They know your stage character. They're with you from the, you know, get-go. This time, everybody stood at the end of the show. So those are the shows I had. Now, this is the email I get from my agency with the the cruise director's critique, shall we call it, or report.
Right.
Here, this, I got to read it exactly like it is because it's just like, it was like, what show was she at? Okay. Fred definitely had his work cut out for him. That's the beginning of the report.
That's not starting great.
No, the shows are 45 minutes on ships. It took him about 30 minutes to get the audience warmed up, but it certainly did not help that he started by making two mocking Joe Biden jokes. You want to hear my mocking Biden jokes?
Yes, let's hear these biting, mocking Joe Biden jokes.
Here's the two jokes, which I didn't know there were two. I talk about getting older, you can have fun with young people because they don't think we're capable of doing anything. And then, I add, and Biden's not helping with that. And then I just act like I'm a little confused on stage, don't know which way to go.
And then, wow, that is totally controversial right there, Fred. I mean, God.
I do the thing about purchasing something and acting like I don't know how to purchase it with the card and that whole thing. That's how she got two, you know, I don't even consider that political.
But the audience is laughing at this point in the show, right?
If the audience isn't laughing, I'm not doing it.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah,
the audience is laughing and it went over really well. So then after he started by making two mocking Joe Biden jokes, also, I'm sorry, but it's 2024. LGBTQIA plus material is out of touch. Our guests may be older, but the majority of them have evolved with the times and aren't amused by this kind of low-hanging fruit. He definitely kept the show going until he had them laughing, and by the end had a decent response.
What do you do? You don't do anything about LGBT.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
So this woman didn't like you. Obviously, they had something against you for whatever reason. It had nothing to do with your act.
Listen, I never met her. She didn't come backstage. She didn't ask what do you want for an intro, which I thought was very strange. In fact, this was her intro. She made her announcements off stage, and then she goes, "And here's your comedian, Fred Klett." That's it. Boom.
Wow, that's very gracious.
So I started out by talking about, I'm just so touched. That's the warmest intro I've ever had.
There you go. You insulted her, and so she hated you.
Yeah.
It was a little long. I go, but gosh, I've never felt better as a comedian. And you know, people are laughing at this. I'm just poking fun at the intro.
Right. Oh, I know. And you used to do that bit, right? When they introduce you and they start clapping, and you'd walk out and you go, "Thank you for clapping till I almost made it to the microphone." That would have considered what, like three more claps, but you decided that was enough. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know how it is. They don't care who you are. They don't know you. And half the time it's like you're walking up to that microphone in complete silence.
Right.
You know, and all I'm doing is making fun of that.
I got to hear the rest of this letter. Yeah.
Now the rest of it was, the second show was pre-dinner on the last night of the cruise, so a small crowd, but had some solid moments. Had some solid moments.
You know what the letter and the email probably ended with, is Fred available next week?
Honestly, it's tough enough, but you don't need somebody to do something like that.
No.
And you know what? This is a... why I always loved working with John was he was one of the entertainers that you would work with. He always rooted for you. He always wanted you to do well. You know what I'm talking about, because there are guys out there that want you to go down so they look better.
I always rooted for the show. To me, the show was always more important than anyone. Like if I wasn't headlining, if I was middling or whatever, and I knew the headliner's act, I would do what I had to do to make sure he was successful. It wasn't about my friggin' ego and my act. You make sure that headliner do whatever you can to help him.
Well, yeah. here's what I consider a great moment with John, and you can ring the bell if you want. But after a show where, you know, I worked really hard to get the audience on the ship, and, you know, it's like pulling teeth, and I come backstage and John's smiling. He goes, "Well, how do you feel about that?" And I go, "It sucked." And John goes, oh, my God. Because what he was saying was, I thought you did a great job with that audience and you got a lot out of them. But, you know, you always want always want the great show. You always want the great show. But I never forgot that moment. And I just thought when I called Nancy after the show to give her the report, some very nice things were said about John. Again, you can ring the bell if you want again, too.
No, I'm like you. I'm my own biggest critic. John always goes, Mike, listen to the show. Or if I, or if it was a TV, I can't watch myself on the, you know, if it, one of my TV shows or whatever that I'm on, you know, my wife, oh, you're on, and I can't watch. I hate seeing myself. I hate hearing myself. I am such a big critic of my, that, yeah. So it's like, I always think I did terrible. And now
I've been meaning
like,
to tell you,
you
this,
did great.
Mike.
You did wonderful. And I'm like, oh God, I just cringe.
I've been meaning to tell you this. I hate seeing you too.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop lurking in your backyard in your back robe, and you won't in your bedroom.
here's how bad I am. After after shows, you know, people come up and they go, oh, I really love your show. You talk about stupid. I would go, no, that wasn't a great show. And I would tell them why. And then Nancy was with me on a cruise, and she heard me do that. And afterwards, she goes, you got to just shut up.
Yeah.
They don't want your critique. Just shut up and say thank you.
Most of the time, they're just being polite on the way out. Like, you know, you just like, hey, great show. You know, with
there's this classic comic that we all know, and you probably heard his name from Long Island, Bob Woods. And he passed away at a young age, but he was he looked like Jackie Gleason, this big, boisterous guy. And people would come up to the show and they'd go, man, you were really funny. He'd go, and what do you know about show business? I'd be like, oh my God.
Isn't that one of the defining things about comics? We are like self-destroying. We like destroy our careers. We say the stupidest thing, you know. I never fail to say the stupidest thing I can.
What do you know about show business?
You know what though? If you've ever worked with somebody that I think it's actually good if you're hard on yourself, but you just got to keep it to yourself.
Right.
But if you've ever worked with somebody that just tanked it and they come off thinking
killed.
No,
absolutely
God,
killed. I hate that.
Oh no, you look at him and like you don't know what to say because it's comedy is naked. I mean,
you know what I like to do though? It's like if you want to mess with a comic and you see him and he's had a great set, but he like, you know, it's one of those guys, it comes off, you just go, hey man, just walk it off, man. What do they know? Just walk it off.
This guy Bob Woods had the best set I've ever seen anybody in my life have at the East Side Comedy Club. I mean, he just smoked them they were laughing and applauding his setups. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was insane. And Richie and I are sitting in the back room, and Richie goes, oh, this is going to be tough when he comes back here. So he walks in the back room, and he's like, and normally you'd look at you and you go, follow that, right? And he walks by, and I know he's about to say it, and I go, hey, man, did you go on yet?
Yeah, that's always another good one.
And he just started laughing. He was like, shut up, man. You heard that. You can't follow that. You know. But thank God all the people we knew, we never had to get those. I froze.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see anyone freeze. Maybe Fred's freezing.
Anyway,
I froze for a second there.
Oh, all right.
Just keep going. It doesn't matter.
That. I remember I did a part in it was a Ron Howard movie called EdTV, and I played a refrigerator repairman, and I'm doing this thing, and I remember Ron was talking, giving directions to this one. He gave me a little direction, and I did it, and then he comes up to everyone, and he's telling me, you know, oh yeah, good, 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 and I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, I'm like apologizing, like I can do. It's like, shut the fuck up. Ron Howard's telling you did a good job. We're moving on. And you're telling him, no, I can do better. Shut your fucking mouth.
However, you know, at some point, at this point, when you're with friends and your friend tanks it, it's the best. When you know what I mean? Because you know, because you know that your friends know you're funny. So, you know, it doesn't bother you. Like somebody, yesterday, this is funny. I know this, well, I won't even say his name, but this is a magician who is not very good. And he put on Facebook that he goes, so I was doing my pre-show setup. And during the pre-show, I hear this guy in the audience go, I hate magic. He goes, I guess we got to sit through this. And my friend actually wrote, had he seen you perform? It's like, oh my God.
No, you know what's fun? You ever do this? You're working, like I was on the road, and it was a show where they had five comics and we were all doing like 20 minutes each. And so you know the comics. I'm not going to mention names because you guys probably know these guys, but the ones that can't go outside their act, that they have to do it exactly the same every time, everything. And so it's like we would go in the audience and like just try to mess with at least especially this one guy. You know, he'd do everything the same. He'd be like, oh man, I do that, and just try to fuck him. And watching him stuff, you know, you can only do that to a friend. You do that to somebody you don't know well and they'll stab you. But
you know how comics have like, they'll have like cue sheets, right? And yeah, they'll go like, so one night I was watching Hal Spear before he died in a comedy club, and he's in the middle of his act, he's doing really well, and he goes like this. He just stops, he goes, parents, candy, dating, oh, good night.
Just right off his set list. You
know? He just rattled off like 10 premises and then went good night. He was serious.
Sex with frogs, jumping off the bridge, you know.
You know what kind of, John, you sent me this, and it kind of, it just bring back all the memories of the, you know, on the road and the one-nighters that you do.
Right.
That Patton Oswalt talking about working with the comedy magician.
Right.
And then you go, it was me. And no, you, I can't tell you the number of people I've showed that to and die laughing every single time.
Oh yeah.
Because it captures exactly what it was like, you know, shorting by $5, the amount of money you're going to get paid. And
yeah, it was actually a little bit more than that, but the story is much funnier for five. But
well, the way, yeah,
the way he tells it, it's brilliant. And it's so funny. And it's so funny because you know my act and you can just see me going, now you see it, now you don't.
Well, I used to love watching you on the ships when if it was not a good audience and if you would get riled, oh man, I call it would go up to the beautiful level. Oh, you would go at that audience and no, it was just fun to watch you.
John had a gig the other night. What happened, John? I mean, John's nightmare came true.
I have an eye. You can't really see this now, but this eye is still twitching. I swear to God, from the stress. We're sitting there. I'm breakfast this morning. Chris goes, "What's with your eye?" I go, "Yeah, there it goes. It just did it." I go, "What happened the other night?" So, anyone who knows the way I work, it's like I am very anal about setting up. I make sure that I have everything. I don't like any chances. So in the morning I got up, I set up my entire show and my comedy show, and I was hired to do this thing, and I was with a good friend of mine, Tom Drake, and we drove 4 hours to this gig. He drove, I got there, and the guy's like,
and you were headlining, John, right? You were supposed to headline.
Yeah. So anyway, I told you this story last night, right, Fred? And anyway, so the guy, we get there at 10 after 6, the guy's in a full-on panic because he's got to open the doors at 6:30, and I'm being really cocky. I'm going, hey, I've done this enough to know it only takes me 10 minutes to set up. Just relax, right? And meanwhile, Tom had the gig and convinced the guy that he had to hire me to make this show better, right, and had to come up with a lot more money. And so I the morning I had a doctor's appointment, and the last thing Tom Drake said to me is, if they tell you you need emergency surgery, tell them you're not having it till tomorrow, because I'm not doing 90 minutes. I open up my suitcase, and there's literally a skull looking back at me. I look in, and I go, oh my God, it was my seance show. And it wasn't even the full seance show. It's only half of it.
But the audience that doesn't know, John has a couple of different acts. He's got his, he does the magic and comedy, does a seance show. And those, what's the third one now you're doing?
The Vampire Hunter.
The Vampire Hunter.
So anyway, I look in there, and all entertainers, we all have this failure dream. I was married to a dancer once, and she'd wake up in a panic like she can't get her shoes on or she can't find her costume. Or Michael Carbonaro told me last night that he has this dream that he gets on stage, he opens his suitcase, and there's nothing in there. You know, we've all had these dreams.
Yeah, and mine is I'm in front of the audience naked, but that's a good dream. I like that one.
not for them. Anyway, so I look in the suitcase, and the thing that freaked me out the most was, literally for a second, I freaked out. I thought I was dreaming. I thought it was an actual dream because I had set everything up in the morning. And then I started hyperventilating.
I know. I got a phone call. I was like,
it was absolutely terrible. And there was nothing that I could even do to go on. So Tom Drake said to the guy, all right, here's what we're doing. We're taking 500 off the show. I'm going to do the 90 minutes. We're considering a down payment for John's next time he comes back here. He'll come back. He'll do the show for the half the money. He gets his whole money. I get my whole money. You get two shows. You're the one who ends up a winner.
Except if they actually call you back.
Well, and Tom says if they don't call you back, you still got half the money.
You still got half the money.
And anyway, but the thing is,
go back the next time with two suitcases and go again and open it up and go, it's the seance one. Oh shit! But have the
all I kept thinking was Dave Hawthorne used to come out on stage and he would just stand there and go, "Hello friends, hello gang, good to know you, nice to know you, good to go down in your whole family. It's good to be here. It's nice to be here." And he would do this. And he would go, and now a little improv, Walrus. And he would just
start but John, wait. You're no Dave Hawthorne.
No. And he would just do this forever. And then he goes, all right, how much more time? And then he goes like this, all right, let's start the show. And he'd open up the suitcase and he'd go, wrong shit. And he'd close it and go, how much more time I got to do? And he'd start doing the whole show over again. and it was brilliant. And that's all I kept thinking when I opened it up. Wrong shit.
Walrus.
Oh, it's terrible.
I don't know why, but I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know Dave Hawthorne, Fred, but he just would say walrus, and it was like I don't know why, but it was the funniest thing I'd ever. I mean, he'd say it, and I'd be rolling in the back on the floor, just rolling.
He was a big goofy looking guy. He'd go, you know, it reminds me of an old story. Me and Al Jolson were standing outside the stage deli, and Al would look at me and go, a hubda hey, da hubda hubba. I have no idea what it meant. Little penicillin, boop, cleared it right up. Walrus. I don't know why. Walrus. I don't know why I do that. Because I guess when I touch her, it feels a little good. Walrus.
Walrus.
And now here's something a little bit different. He put his hands on his ass. Reverse walrus.
It makes no sense, but it was the funniest thing.
And then he'd go like this. He'd go, and now a little impression. Michael Jackson. Walrus. It was just like so fucking stupid. And I used to book this mafia club upstate in the Bronx.
Wait, John, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as the mafia.
No, anyway, I booked these guys, and it was so funny because they had a Frank Sinatra impersonator that came in on Sunday night, and somebody must have cut the letters out of Oaktag, and it looked like it was S-I-N, but the I and the N were too close, so it looked like Swatra.
It's the German Sinatra. Swatra
every Saturday night. Every week, they would go, this guy Tony would go, who do you got for next week? And I go, I start telling the guy, he goes, hey, the boys really like the big guy that grabs his package and says walrus. He goes, bring him back. He kills us. He fucking kills us. And they would just, I don't know. I don't know why, but I actually saw a guy at the East Side Comedy Club when he went like this. Wrong shit. How much more time I got to do? No problem. Walrus. And the guy literally fell out of the chair in the aisle going, oh, oh. It's funny. It works.
Well, if someone can make that funny, that's brilliant. I mean, I would be dying laughing watching that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's just so dumb, you know? And then he goes, now, remember he used to do impressions, so now I do impression of the Guardian Angels. Hey, we're the Guardian Angels. We be in the subway to protect you. We work hand the job. Like, the whole thing's just a big hand job. But, like, we work with the cops, you know? If you are in the subway and you are getting harassed or mugged, we'll be there. Because chances are we'll be the ones mugging you. But, yeah, he just... Oh, and then everything ended with Walrus.
Walrus.
So, Fred, I'm going to Alaska this week on Saturday.
So what, you're on a cruise, but you're not working this cruise.
No,
you're just going on a cruise.
The first cruise that I ever paid for in my life.
Wow.
You're not only going to Alaska, you're probably on the very first week of that season.
No, it's a couple of weeks in already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but so, they start earlier every year.
Are you gonna go see the comedian?
I hope I don't know the comedian, only just because I would like to spend some time with my girlfriend.
Yeah,
and not,
I can see
know.
It now, ladies and gentlemen. We have a celebrity in the audience.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just like, hey, you know who's in charge of entertainment now at Norwegian?
No,
Peter Grant.
Wait, Peter Grant?
Yeah,
no, I don't know him. I don't know him, John.
This is funny. Peter Grant worked in The Office, right? And then once there was a cruise director that was sick, and he had to come on for a week, and we had to do Liars Club. So he comes up to me before the show, because I've known Peter for like 30 years. And he goes, listen, man, I'm just filling in, and I'm a little rusty at this and stuff. He goes, so, you know, if you don't mind taking it easy on me a little, you know, wrong thing to say. So anyway, and it was country western night, right? And he goes, let's just kind of keep this, you know, like kind of cleaner and all this stuff. So anyway, he goes, hey, we're here, and we got John Fortino. And I go, so Peter, I got the cruisers in front of me. I go, so Peter, I go, it's country western night tonight, right? And he goes, yeah. I go, it's a hoedown? And he goes, yeah. I go, what time the hoes getting on board? Right. Like, what time the hoes get here? Right. And he just looks at me like, and he just starts laughing, like, why did I say anything to you?
But John, so let me ask you, do you get off the ship? I mean, like, are you gonna go fishing? Is there, I mean, or is it the whole
time? I am doing Tour City. I am, when I get to Skagway, I'm taking the train ride up the North Passage.
Skagway.
And then walk around Skagway. I'm going whale watching in Juneau.
That sounds so funny. Skagway. Is it really the name of the town? Skagway.
Yeah, it's the coolest town in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Cool.
It is. It's like, it looks like when you walk, I mean, and a couple of years ago, they didn't even have paved roads. They were like cinder. And it just looks like a stagecoach come railing through there any second, right?
That sounds pretty freaking cool.
When they had the gold rush, Skagway was the port that everyone came into.
Yeah.
Wow. So is it like is the remnants of those old, like, because I know those things got deserted after the gold rush. So is it just like a it's not a ghost town, obviously, but is it just a tourist kind of a place, or is it a real city?
People still live there. It's a small city. I'll tell you, really weird. One day I decided to take a walk behind the town, and I was walking
in Skagway,
and I'm in the middle of the woods. And there's a locomotive from like 1929 with a big snowcatcher on it, just on a piece of track in the middle of the woods.
That is so. I think we found the new walrus, Skagway. You just say Skagway.
Skagway is where outside of the town in a meadow, I saw a grizzly bear maybe 100 yards away. It was just kind of foraging in the grass.
Wow. See that's too. That's, I watch the shows. Like, I love those last Alaskans, the first. I watch and love all those reality. But like, I would not do well with a grizzly bear 100 yards away, man.
So, I just, you know, I'll tell you what. Honestly, you know, I was with three other people from the ship, and we just all backed up real slow. And then as soon as we were out of sight, we got out of there. I mean,
because those things can move, man. They can move.
They can cover 100 yards in 5 seconds.
Right. I was in, I think it was Ketchikan, and they have a thing called the Raptor Rehabilitation Center, where like eagles and stuff get hit by cars and they kind of nurse them back to health. So I look at it, and it's
a lot of eagles get hit by cars, John.
Yeah, when they're eating salmon and stuff in the road, I guess. You know.
I guess. Wow, that's wild.
And so they, I decide I'm gonna go there, right? And I look on the thing, and it's like it's a 1.2 mile walk through these woods, and I go, yeah, that's nothing, man. I'll just go. So I start going through the woods, and I mean, it's dark in these woods. This isn't like woods in Florida. This is real woods, dark woods. And I swear to God, this is a true story. I get to the middle of this thing, and now I'm getting a little like, you know, like, should I go back? Should I go forward? How far have I got? You know what I mean? And there's a sign in English and in Russian. I think the Russian one said the same as American. I don't read Russian, but it said, warning, these trails are inhabited by very large aggressive bears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you think you could have put the sign before I was halfway down the trail?
You didn't have to read this sign, John. The John had a picture of it with a bear with a guy in its mouth.
I mean, with a round circle over it. And now I'm thinking, do I go forward? And then I'm walking through the woods, and anytime I heard like a leaf crunch, I'm like,
oh, I'm sorry. I would have needed some new underwear at the end of that walk.
I took a cab back, you know, and told you that.
Oh. That's where you find out that you really want to live. You value your life way more than you thought.
Or at least you don't want to die that way. Hey, you know, it's like,
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fred, this is my favorite story, if you don't mind. Tell Mike the moose story. That's the greatest story about Alaska.
Oh, that goes right in, then. Let's hear the moose story.
Well, number one, it actually, this is something that, when this happened, I was with Gary Carson. John, you know Gary, right?
Yeah. Vegas Magic Act.
Yeah, and when this happened to the two of us at the farewell show, Gary goes, you know, he went out and did his thing, and then he comes off, and they're introducing me, and he goes, are you going to talk about the moose? And I go, I don't know. And then when I went out, that's all I talked about for the 20 minutes was that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the moose.
It really start off about how you were hanging out together. That's my favorite part.
What, him and the moose? You were hanging out with a moose?
Two grown men.
No, that's interesting, because you guys tell me what you think, because this is something else that's been in this ultra-sensitive world we live in. I'm starting to get some flack on this, and it's not meant in any way malicious. It's just, and this happened on the ship. You know, Gary's one of those really good looking magicians.
Ring the bell, John.
So I imagine not as good looking as John. I want to protect John. But, you know, we're hanging out on the ship, and this woman comes up to us, and she goes, she wants to know if we're gay, because she just sees everywhere we go, we're together.
Hmm.
And she wants to know if we're, she just asked, are you guys gay? And I go, no. And she goes, oh, because I told my my dad, if Gary was gay, what a shame it would be, because he's so good looking. And then when I tell the story, I go, so not only am I gay, but I'm the ugly gay guy. And then this is the truth, that because Gary actually said this, he goes to the woman, he goes, look, if I were gay, don't you think I could do better than him?
I'm almost afraid now where the moose comes into this story.
Well, but the whole point being, now what do you think of that? Is that innocent? It's funny.
You know what? I honestly am of the opinion that I don't worry about what people think and what they. It's like, you know, it's like everything can be taken out of context and misconstrued, and you just do it. You do. We're entertainers. We're trying to make people laugh. If somebody wants to think I have bad intent, you know, screw them.
Well, this is. I had a lady come up to me after a show, and she represented some gay organization, and she threatened to sue me.
Really? Just for saying you were the ugly gay guy?
Yeah, because of that story. And I'm telling you, it is amazing what people will look for and find to be offended at, to complain about, because it's just like, I just think it's just funny.
Not to interrupt your story, because I want to hear this whole new story, but this is exactly what you're talking about. I was performing at a nudist colony, right?
Was the moose there?
I was performing at a nudist colony, and these men wear shirts and no pants. So this guy comes up on stage. He's about 6'2". He's got a fluorescent orange belly shirt on and no pants. And I just turn to him and I go, oh, for Christ's sake, can you pull your shirt down? and it gets a huge laugh. And the woman goes to my girlfriend, Chris, he apparently has problems with nudity. It's like you can't wait. So anyway, tell this as your little venture.
I definitely want to hear this story, but it really is a shame, though. There are people out there just looking for something to be. They're just looking for a fight. There are people looking for a fight these days, you know.
Well, but the sad thing is that though their numbers have increased. There are more of them now looking for, you know, almost wanting to find something that they can take and say that they were offended. And I don't know if it makes them feel righteous, but it's, you know, I mean, the three of us, we probably all grew up always loving comedy, and you want to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And here's people, you know, and I put it in this perspective. I want to make you laugh, but you want to sue me.
Right.
And it's just like, it kind of puts it in perspective. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, it's like people want to force it. Listen, either you accept or you don't. It doesn't really matter. It's your life. It's like, I have no problem with anybody living their life, whatever way it is, as long as it doesn't affect my life. What do I give a shit? But, you know, there are people that are just say gay or whatever. They want to affect your life, our lives, by making us do whatever. It's like, you know what? No, it's like, you live your life. You're asking me to be accepting of everyone else.
Well, and then honestly, it's just simple. If you don't like somebody, just get up and leave. You don't have to. Nobody's making you stay.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. And I think right now it's been magnified.
But yeah, it's funny you talk about
it. I had a joke in my act I'm sure wouldn't go over. Somebody, same thing, asked me if I was gay. I'm saying, I'm like, no. I said, but I'm not saying I never tried it. It tastes like chicken. Hey, I'm sure that wouldn't go over big today. I don't know.
I was at the Comedy Store once, and Dom Irrera, Eddie Murphy, was on, and he went into this whole rant about how, you know, it's like, it's tough being black because, you know, white people get all the best roles, and, you know, and he just kind of went, and it wasn't really funny, you know, but it was, you know, but it was Black Night at the Comedy Store, and he was killing. And then Dom Irrera.
That wouldn't go over in Skagway, though.
So Dom Irrera goes up afterwards. He walks out on stage and he goes, I just have to tell you, I love being white. he goes, I get the best roles in movies. I walk around malls nobody follows me. Right. When a cop pulls me over, he says, "Can I have your license and registration, sir?" Right. He's going on and on. And you hear Eddie laughing harder than anybody in the back.
Right.
And then there's these like three of Eddie Murphy's bodyguards standing in the back of the club. And he goes, "Who are you guys?" And they like shake their head and wave their hand like, "No, we're not going to answer." He goes, "Come on, who are you guys?" He goes, "Would it safe to assume you're Eddie Murphy's bodyguards?" And they go, yeah. And he goes, "How unfunny do you have to be that you need bodyguards?"
That's funny. Because
that you have to have somebody protect you because you did comedy. Right. Eddie was laughing harder than anybody. And he goes, "Yeah, I'm doing my act. People want to hurt me. That's how unfunny I am."
Jeez. You know what I've noticed about this story, John? It's totally mooseless.
I know. All right.
We started on getting a moose.
What time do we start?
Haven't got a clue, but we're mooseless. I haven't had a moose. No moose.
All right. We're going to let Fred do the moose story for us.
Well, all right. So it's Haines, Alaska. You remember Haines?
Right.
That was at when I used to do the Two Ports Skagway, and then the later half of the day they would do Haines.
Right.
So the ship actually moved like a mile.
Right.
But Gary and I, we got off the ship, and Gary goes, "Look, there's a moose." And I turned and looked, and there was a moose on this logger's trail that goes off into the woods. And I go to Gary, "Get your camera and take the picture." Gary goes, "No, if I take its picture from here, it will look like a horse." So then, I explained to the audience, we're two city boys, because I proposed to Gary, "Let's just run up to the moose and we'll take its picture." And then when I tell it on stage, I emphasize that we will just run up to the moose and take its picture. And the Canadians usually laugh hard at that because they know. But
don't moose kill more people than like bears?
More people get killed by moose in Alaska than bears.
Yeah.
So we start running up to the moose, which we really did. And we get about 20 feet away and stop. And I go to Gary, "Gary, give me your camera and you go get by the moose." To which the audience laughs at the fact that I'm trying to get him to go by the moose. But then, Gary goes, "No, I've got the camera. You get by the moose." To which I intelligently say, "Okay." So I go up by the moose. I get about 10 feet away. And then Gary immediately tells me, "The moose is coming right at you." And so I go, we learned two things about Gary in this story. The first thing we learned is that I am faster than Gary. And when I went by him, the noise he made was not exactly what you would call a manly noise. And then this is a callback. And I go, and I'm thinking the college girl might be right. Cause that's how I called her asking if we were gay. So then I go, we come to a clearing. There's a shed. We go whipping around the corner of the shed. The moose is right behind us. And I jump straight up, grab the top of the shed. I don't know how I did it, but did a handspring, landed on my feet on top of the shed. If you had saw me in real life, you would laugh at the contrast and about how easy I made it seem like I got on this shed, because really the side of that shed was scarred from my shoes scrambling up the side. And I go, and then this is where we find out the second thing about Gary. Gary can't jump. So Gary hit the shed hard. So I'm on top of the shed. It's fun for me now because I'm looking down, and what I'm looking down at is Gary running around the shed, and the moose is right behind him. So, I yell out, "Gary, throw me the camera. I'm pretty sure he won't look like a horse from here," which is a statement. And then I go, and when Gary, I go, actually, when I went on top of the shed, Gary went around the corner. We both went out of sight from the moose. The moose just veered off into the woods and kept going. But I'm on top of the shed. I could see that, but I'm safe now. So I'm having fun. And then I go, when he got tired and slowed down, I just make a noise and then I'd hit the mic and then he'd speed right back up again. And And then it's one of those things where I just stop. And then the audience, when they stop laughing, I'm just looking at them and I go, okay, when we get to port, I'm going to call Gary and tell him I finally found an audience that could care less what happened to him. And then, now, this is something that the week it happened, John, you know what this is like. I was on for another week. Gary got off the ship. And then everyone on the ship heard about us being chased by this moose. So I was telling crew, going, look, I didn't tell anyone this, but and I don't think Gary wants to know, but actually Gary fell down and the moose got on top of him. And it was pretty ugly. What the moose, moose did to Gary. And then, like 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from Gary because he got on the ship and they were asking him if the moose really got on top of him. And he was so mad at me for telling him that.
Oh.
But it was just one of those things that happened.
Muskrat love.
And I'll tell you what, when I did that on the cruise, it got such good laughs that, you know, and I was on land and it was one of those comedy gigs where you're different cities, different nights. And I can't remember where we were at, but the audience was really tough. It's pulling teeth. And I thought, I'm going to tell the moose story, and it killed.
Right.
And then you realize you got something that you can tell everywhere. Because if it can work on that tough,
oh, yeah,
you
it's
know
funny.
What I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Then, what's a great story? You know, it's
so funny.
Well, the funny thing is, when Gary asked me if I was going to talk about the moose at that farewell show, and I got off afterwards, I mean, I wish I had that one on tape because it wasn't a bit then. And I really wish I had it on tape because I'd love to see how I did that. And, Gary comes up to me after the show and he goes, you don't write your material. It just happens. And there is some truth to that, you know, with our material, because a lot of times we take it from real life. And of course we have fun with it. We embellish it, but, I got a kick out of him, almost like with disgust going, you don't write your material.
Those are the best stories. The real ones. I mean, shit.
We had Tommy Chong on, right? And he was telling us, you know the famous bit, Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, man.
You know, he goes, hey, open the door. Who? Dave. Dave who? What? Open the door, man. It's Dave. Dave's not here, man. Right?
We know the bit.
So he tells the story about how he sent out cheats to get sandwiches and where the recording studio was hot as hell. And he goes, he knows he's the king of improv. So when he comes back, he opens the door, he goes, open the door, man. It's hot. And I go, who is it? Right? And he goes, and right away, he goes, it's Dave. Right. And he goes, and the whole bit is improv. And he goes, I got the recorder near the door and I'm recording this thing. And he goes, and it is really funny. And it goes on forever.
He was the origin story of that whole bit. And he's like, it's Cheech. He goes, oh man, Cheech's not here, man.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's Dave. It's Dave. Right. So anyway, he goes, we listen to this thing and we go, this is gold. This is the funniest thing ever. He goes, so we run to the studio. We call Lou Adler, who is the producer, and go, you got to hear this. And they call all the people in. He goes, and we play it, and not one person laughs at the table. And he goes, and we decided it doesn't matter, man. We're putting it on the album. And he goes, and it's the biggest bit that we ever had. It's the part that people remember. I saw a hat the other day online that said, I'm Dave.
So do you have any clue how we're doing on time, John? Because you should have a thing that's showing you the time of the recording.
Nope, doesn't have that.
Nope. Because I'm figuring we're probably somewhere near the time.
Yeah, well, you got to be pretty near.
That's like when this is how you, when you're on stage and you see someone looking at their watch, like when
it's time to get off. Yeah,
when's this going to be over?
But we can say one thing about this show now: we are not moose free. We are no longer a moose free show.
it's hard to do something that becomes a bit just as a conversation. But I still do the moose story because it really does work well. And the whole gay reference, it just. The only problem with it is sometimes there's somebody out there and they're going to take offense at that. And all it is just being, mistaken identity. I mean, come on.
You know what I said?
I had the lady that threatened to sue me. The lady that threatened to sue me said, because I, you try to talk rationally with someone for a bit, and then you get to a point where you realize no matter what you say, it's not going to make any difference. Because she goes, well, would you think it was funny if someone would mistake you for being black? And I go, that would be the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
And what the hell? I mean, what does that even mean?
You know, there's just such stupidity in the world today.
It's just ridiculous.
I say sue me and freaking, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity to make you famous, showing how ridiculous they are.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought was when she walked away. Her parting words were, we're going to, and this is exactly how she phrased it, and, you know, just to give, you know, some of the listeners an idea sometimes, we're trying our hardest to make everyone gut laugh. And her parting words were, to me, were, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that you have gay bashing material in your act. Mm-hmm. And and I remember thinking, God, if you can get everybody to know who I am, I would pay you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I will end on this. I was with Richie Minervini one night on a cruise out of Puerto Rico. And Richie came out and said, oh, I've been old San Juan. And what a lovely place. The problem with this is there's too many Puerto Ricans, right? So this guy comes up to me after the show, and I'm standing right there, and he goes, I am a lawyer. This is my friend. He is a doctor. It sounds like the start of a joke, right? And he goes, and we just want to tell you that we are deeply offended at your racist comment. And Richie went, oh, my God, what are you talking about? He goes, racist? You're the racist. All I'm saying is that San Juan is the most beautiful city I've ever seen, but it is so crowded, you can't even walk around there. He goes, when you're in the United States, if it's crowded, they're Americans. He goes, if you're in Africa, there's Africans, and Puerto Ricans, it's Puerto Ricans. I meant no disrespect by that. He goes, I just said it's a beautiful city, but there's just too many, it's too crowded. There's too many Puerto, and they go, oh man, we're really sorry.
Now get your shine box. All right.
only Richie.
Oh man.
The king of schmooze. The king of schmooze. All right. Well, I hope this show recorded.
I hope so too. But Fred, thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks you for lowering Fred. Your standard, Fred. 81 million views on Dry Bar. It's like I feel naked now. It's like, you know, four people have seen my
You guys, your audience is you're going to dwarf that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't have the gift online during the show.
You know, your numbers are going to go up and up and up, and I'm going to call
John.
I'm so happy that I've had Fred on the show two or three times, and he's never brought up the gift.
I did bring up the gift on the first time we did it.
Well, we're going to name this episode Fred Klett Dry Bar.
No, you know what, though? This is a running thing between John and I, and I always told him he has the gift. But you got to admit, you couldn't have written that scene any better in a movie when we're in a crew bar and you're denying that you have the gift. And I'll let you tell him what happened.
Well, he's always telling me, he goes, oh, the women just love you. You got the gift. Everyone wants to talk to John Ferrantino and all this stuff, right? And we're sitting by ourselves having a beer or soda, Fred's having, and this really attractive woman, right, from the casino comes up, sits on my lap, and goes, do you think I look better with or without a bra? And whips her bra off.
Oh.
And Fred, I look over, and Fred just goes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the gift. There you go.
No, I just looked at you. I didn't have to say anything. This debate is over.
Yeah, but you know what? Who needs that kind of gift when you got the moose?
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, that's Fred, thank you so much for spending some time. I know you're busy, and I know you're going away soon, and we always love having you on the show, and it was really fun.
You guys are great.
And we will probably going to air this one this week or next week. This week, right?
Yeah.
All right. This one will be this week.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much. Great hanging out with you again.
Tell Shaq I say hi.
We will. I'm going to call him right now when we get off the air, and I'm going to tell him Fred Kletz says
hey. It'll mean a lot to him.
They told us that he may stop by someday.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Would that be awesome?
And I'm going to see if they'll buy Mike a bicycle. He's giving away, like, you know that
tell
story,
him, yeah,
right?
I already got the blue helmet. I already got the blue helmet. I just need a bicycle.
Get yourself a Huffy. I love the Huffy. I always wanted the Huffy. That's all he says.
All right, man.
All right, Fred. Thank you so much for stopping by. We'd love having you. And all good right. luck to you and the moose.
Yeah.
And say hello to Nancy. Say hello to Nancy and the kids and everybody.
And everyone can see us on, hear us on Spotify, on the Podcast Playground, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we are. That's where we are.
We are there.
All right.
I'm going to stop the recording. Let's see if we all stay in. All right. 1, 2, 3. I can't talk. I'm doing a show, whatever this is. I'll call you later.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.